Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant. Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
The most interactive sports talk show in Houston, 713-780-3776 to jump in, to text in. You can also get after us on Twitter, at Gallant Says. I was asking people, hey, what made you feel old of late? From the 832, Paul, you're dealing with some tendonitis, Paula G. Need to stretch before you play. I did stretch. That's the worst. Another from the 713. First time I felt old was when I was checking a lady out and my married friend said, bro, that girl is my daughter's age. Responding, sorry, that's your life getting married. That's how I feel at times. People complain about their marriages way too much to me. Can you not? Can you not do it? They think they're doing it privately, but I'm like, I hear it from all of you. Stop complaining about your marriages and stop complaining about having kids, okay? Thanks. Please. I want to have something good in my life when I'm dying, okay? Thank you. Don't make me feel even older than I already do with all the silver in my hair and my massive toe blisters that I have right now. Speaking of toe blisters, the Houston Astros were a toe blister this weekend because they sucked. What a transition, Paul. Yeah, they got swept by the Cincinnati Reds, the team that had fans wearing bags over their heads into the stadium and then having those bags confiscated by Red security. This happened actually in the middle of a broadcast once. Yeah, that team is on fire. They've won 8 in a row. Eddie De La Cruz, pretty fun player. They're 6'5". What, he's a middle infielder?
Yeah, shortstop. Did you see that he beat out a ground out to...
Slid into first base.
To Abreu.
Awesome.
And, like, Abreu played it, like, perfectly
he did.
Fine.
And he did.
The guy just beat him down the line.
And he just slid, like, into first base. God. Amazing. He's fun. There isn't somebody like that on the Houston Astros right now. And something's missing. I don't know what it is. I'm not trying to say the season is over or anything like that, like I jokingly did to open up Friday's show. But, man, this is starting to get concerning. And I'm at the point now where I don't really think he can wait to make an addition. I imagine you're going to have to pay a little bit more if you trade for somebody before the trade deadline, because that's the main reason that there is a holdup. I think people want to see what their actual market is for any players that they're thinking about shipping. But you need a bat. The question is, though, where would you play the bat? And would Dusty play the bat even if you got him the bat? Right? I mean, they got... last year, Christian Vasquez as the backup catcher behind Martin Maldonado. And while Maldonado played well in the postseason, Vasquez was a better player. And you have the same exact situation going on with Yainer Diaz, who is playing less than Corey Jolks for whatever reason. And Corey Jolks led off on Saturday, for God's sake. And on top of that, you're also not seeing Dubon every single day. Altuve is getting a lot of days off. There's a lot of things to wonder about with Dusty Baker, but I think there's more things to just worry about with this team as a whole, because the pitching is not as good as it was last season, the bullpen in particular. The offense is sporadic at best, and between the bullpen and starting pitching, like you just aren't able to, I think, handle teams the way that you were. So now they're in third place. They're a game back of the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, which we might need to start doing an Angels watch for them. So here's my question for you on this Juneteenth. Happy Juneteenth, everybody. Anybody pushing back against Juneteenth, by the way? I don't think there's that many people, but it's a great day to celebrate. Any day that we get off federally is a good day to celebrate. So there needs to be more of a push to make Juneteenth a federal holiday that is recognized by everybody so nobody has to work today.
Yes, I second this.
There's not enough holidays where we get the day off. There aren't.
There really aren't.
I mean... yeah, Christopher Columbus, problematic.
Bad guy.
It was kind of nice having Columbus days off in the Northeast growing up. It was kind of nice to have that one October Monday off a year. I liked it. I miss it. People are mad about celebrating Juneteenth, which is actually a pretty important day in our history. No, let's celebrate it. Let's all have the day off, okay? Yeah. I was talking to some people this week, and then they were like, yeah, we get it off from work. And I was like, hell yeah.
Yeah, people at regular, and also, like, I get that, like, for certain holidays, like, we just get less days off, like Labor Day. Like we just we don't get Labor Day off because that's
football season.
It's a big day, but like these summer holidays, like can we get Flag Day off? Can we get Juneteenth off?
Earth Day,
4th of July, Earth Day. Earth Day is right by my birthday. I'd be down for that.
Here's a thought: can we get 2 months off? Like all the Euros. Are we such hardos that we need to work at all times? Like, good God, we're not the entire cast of Mad Men. We're not all this obsessed with our jobs, are we? No, we're not. We're not. We need more holidays. More holidays. Thank you. What a controversial opinion.
We also need more runs from the Houston Astros.
We need more runs from the Houston Astros. But what would you rather talk about on this Juneteenth? Would you rather talk about the Astros' play of late or the weather?
Is not the weather.
It's pretty hot. Pretty hot outside.
It is a hot one.
It's my favorite form of small talk is talking about the weather. At some point, I feel like I should go online and like read about weather and pretend I have a meteorology degree and start talking about like, well, actually, you take a look at the cirrus clouds up in the sky and you'll know that that means that there could be some actually intense rain in the near future.
I took a meteorology class in college.
Ooh, fill us in on some details.
I don't remember much.
Oh, damn.
I know low pressure systems.
Low pressure systems. They're there.
We could use one.
Could we use a little? Thursday. Does that make it cool down?
Yeah, Thursday we got one coming.
Oh, thank God, because it's going to be hot. It's going to be hot as balls the next couple of days, guys. Yeah. Hey, guys, you see the weather? See the weather out there? It started making me think about this old commercial. I bet everybody that watches TV, you remember this commercial. Remember the Sears commercial? The Sears commercial for getting air conditioning? Maybe everybody had air conditioning in Houston, so you guys never had this, but in the Northeast, I used to see this at least 6 times a summer.
I cannot live another day without air conditioning.
Says tomorrow's going to be hotter.
Hotter?
Like yesterday.
Yesterday?
Yesterday you said you'd call Sears.
I'll call today.
You call now.
I'll call now.
That commercial I've heard so many times and it's stuck in my head. Classic weather conversation. How's the weather today, guys?
It's going to be even hotter tomorrow.
it probably will be, though.
Yeah. Also, this lady wears the pants in their relationship.
Listen.
I'll call tomorrow. No, you'll call today.
Listen.
You'll call now.
Someone texts in, hate to break it to you, but Juneteenth is already a federal holiday. Call your bank. How about I call Mr. Gow?
When we say federal holiday, we don't mean that like, oh, the post office is closed. We mean we want the day off. That's what we mean.
Yeah, we just want the day off. I look, guys, I don't even care what happened. I don't care. I just want the day off.
St. Patrick's Day. Want the day off.
I want that day off more than anything.
Also, what we should do is make St. Patrick's Day the first like either Thursday or the first Friday or of March Madness every year. Where like it's not the 17th or March 17th anymore. It's like Thanksgiving where it floats around. Mm-hmm. But it's always just lined up with March Madness. That way we can just get the day off.
Yeah.
And then watch college basketball all week.
Day after the Super Bowl.
Day after the Super Bowl.
Why don't we make the Super Bowl the same time as President's Day?
Yeah.
It seems like that would make sense. Make it a 3-day weekend.
Well, that's one that we would definitely be working no matter what.
Yeah, that's true. But I mean, it makes sense. Yeah. It makes sense to have it then.
For the civilians out there who don't have to talk about sports for a living.
Civilians, it's true.
Yeah.
Do you guys thank us for our service on this Juneteenth? No, I haven't seen anybody thank us for our service.
What's Sports Talk Radio Day? Well, let me look what that day is. We should put that day on.
By the way, well, so a bunch of people are texting in. Yeah, everyone has air conditioning, so you don't have those kind of commercials. Those used to be on all the time in the Northeast, but fine. I'm going to get something stuck in your head. I was on the internet today and yesterday. I think I saw this on Sunday. I was looking at this like random. Shut up, Sean. You're laughing. Lord, we're having fun. It's Juneteenth.
It was just, I was on the internet today. Or maybe it was yesterday. It's like we're all on the internet every day.
I just want the day off. Okay. I just want the day off.
Some would say you're already taking the day off.
So, yeah, I saw this commercial at some point over the weekend, and I want it stuck in your head. This is actually a banger. And as someone who had one of these cars, I'm just so mad I never heard this song before.
Llegó el japonés, Toyota Corolla. Bonito como el sol, y jala como un campeón. Tracción delantera, independiente suspensión. Toyota Corolla.
larga duración. Cuatro cilindros, 1600.
Toyota Corolla.
Potencia sin restricción y suave su dirección. Es grande en economía, pero camina a millón.
Toyota Corolla.
El mejor carro del mundo entero ha llegado a Venezuela.
La mejor tecnología, obra de gran maestría. Llegó el japonés, Toyota Corolla.
Toyota Corolla, el milagro japonés.
Toyota Corolla.
I mean, I bet we just made Corolla sales skyrocket. Two of my first cars were Toyota Corollas. The first car I ever had was a 95 Corolla, and the second car that I had was an 01 Corolla.
They call it a Japanese miracle. And
well, it is. They last forever.
I guess that is the miracle part. Also, there is – I should count up during the break how many times they show the same clip.
Over and over?
Toyota Corolla running through a paper display like a high school football team that says Toyota Corolla.
Toyota
on it.
Corolla.
It's like four different times, but then they will flip the angle on it, like they'll just mirror it.
Is that song, by the way, cancelable? Because it does, it's on Espanol, but it does feel like they're really like laying into the, like, this is a Japanese car with a tick, 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 tick. Am I wrong? Like, is that a problematic commercial? It's 2023. I don't know.
I'm not sure. I think it flies in. Also, they like single out like now available in Venezuela. That's also very funny. I assume this is a Venezuelan commercial.
Toyota Corolla. No, I think that's a Mexico commercial.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Anyway, you're welcome. You're welcome for getting that stuck in your head. You're welcome for my service. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You want to jump in, 713-780-3776 to call, to text. We're having some fun. Twitch.tv/ESPN 97.5. How good has Shohei Ohtani been this season? Future Houston Astro? We'll give you the numbers on that. Plus, the bench might have a curse that is active, especially with what happened to one of their recent guests this weekend. Paul Gallant Show, stick around.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant. Join the devastation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
Astros have been playing like crap. They're 11-12 since May 26th. They just got swept by the Cincinnati Reds over the weekend. They've lost four in a row. They're five and a half back of the Texas Rangers. They're four and a half back of the, excuse me, they're one game back of the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. So they're in third place. Yeah, it's bad. Just like the setup of this segment coming in with the two stumbles that I just had was bad. Like, that's kind of what the Astros have been of late. Not 100% there. Kind of hungover, like kind of Paul Gallant might be right now from hanging out on Sunday with friends. It happens. But you got to get up. Wake up. And meanwhile, the Angels continue to play well. Here are all the things that Shohei Ohtani leads the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim in. Runs, hits, home runs, walks as a batter, runs batted in, stolen bases, average, on-base percentage, slugging percentage, OPS, wins, ERA, strikeouts. Add that all up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. Shohei Ohtani leads the Angels in 13 different categories. And also what sucks right now is that Ohtani's probably going to end up staying if the Angels play well this year. Because it does seem like he's a little bit tired of the direction of the team. And maybe this is just a one-year anomaly for the Angels, who have a lot of talent that they're playing above their head right now. Maybe they're going to come crashing back to earth. Obviously, the last time they went up against the Astros, they didn't look so good. the Astros are very good against Trout and Ohtani for whatever reason, specifically at Minute Maid Park. But it does feel like if the Angels keep playing like this, Ohtani's going to perhaps think to himself, you know what, I will stay here. As opposed to signing with some sort of contending baseball team. So, not great. Also not great, the curse of the bench. It's real. We have three things as evidence. You might know the bench as the morning show here at ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. John Granato, Lance Zierlein. Things have not been going so well for recent guests of the program of late. Ryan Presley was on the show last week. He's struggled since. He had that outing with all the errors. He had another outing where he blew the lead. He had a couple of walks in his last appearance. It's been rough since he was on the bench. Dana Holgorsen, regularly on the show, right? But they finished fifth in the AAC last year. And the expectations were they would be a lot better. Jimbo Fisher comes on the show a lot. What were the Aggies last year? 5-7? Huh. And then we have this. Bob Huggins was on the bench on March 31st. And since that moment, Bob Huggins, the head coach of West Virginia basketball, has gotten in trouble for dropping the other F-bomb twice in the middle of a radio interview with two co-hosts who were kissing his ass even as he did it, and he has been arrested for a DUI. He blew up .210 after multiple failed attempts with a breathalyzer over the weekend. He was unable to explain how his tire got shredded. He was unable to say where he was. He thought he was in Columbus. He showed a Burger King receipt from several hours earlier. He could not explain how he got from the Burger King to the north side. He was asked 10 times where he was actually at. He never once responded with the current city he was in. Empty beer cans were found in a garbage bag on the passenger side. More bottles in the trunk with an empty cooler in the car as well. He blew a .210. Yikes. And he resigned as head coach of West Virginia basketball.
What? Why?
Kind of hard to overcome both of those things, Sean, especially when they are so close to one another.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's triple the limit. .210.
Triple's tough.
He's a big guy, too. Yeah. He's a very large man. So it would have taken a lot to get to that point. And thankfully, he didn't crash into anybody because this could have been an absolutely horrible story. We could be talking about DUI manslaughter or something like that. So thankfully, he just shredded a tire and there wasn't any property damage or physical damage to other people. But good God, that is a rough, rough night. And now you got to wonder about future guests on the bench. I don't care about Bob Huggins. I don't.
Oh, you don't want to do West Virginia basketball coaching list?
What's next for West Virginia basketball?
John Beilein still out there? You have to ask Jay Wright.
Stop. Because I'm almost entertaining the conversation.
Joe Mazzulla, it's time to come home.
You know what? Actually, as a Celtics fan, I wouldn't date that. Because I don't feel like Mazzulla needs to be out of a job. I don't think it was his fault for the Celtics. But Bob Huggins, he needs a replacement, and it might make more sense
steady
for it to be Joe Mazzulla.
What if Joe Mazzulla was just the, like, I like how we said we weren't going to talk about the coaching thing. And what if Joe Mazzulla was just, like, standby, like, in the off season, in case your coach does something that forces him to either resign or get fired. And then the world of basketball can go, you know what? Let's call in Joe Mazzulla.
I think that makes sense.
Yeah. He's like you just have him on retainer. Yeah. Like, you know, in case your coach blows three times the legal limit. Oh, Joe Mazzulla's our interim. In case your coach can't stop hitting on and maybe doing other stuff with the different female staffers on the team, call Joe Mazzulla.
As the bench says, Sean is cooking. And who is the next guest on the bench?
Joe Mazzulla?
No, I don't think it's going to be Joe Mazzulla.
Okay.
It's probably some. I bet it's somebody who works in sports media. And now you got to start checking that guy's closets. Yeah. So there is a curse, the curse of the bench guests. We laid it out. Bob Huggins, Jimbo Fisher, Dana Holgorsen, Ryan Presley. I'm sure there's others.
Yeah, if we dig hard enough, if we go through the podcast page, like, we could find some other.
But why dig when we can just say this and we're fine?
Yeah, no.
We have four pieces of evidence.
That's so much evidence.
That's enough.
Yeah.
That's enough. So, I mean, if you ever want to be on the bench, watch out. The next thing you know, you might be dropping hard other F-bombs on the radio and blowing a .210 while driving your car.
Yeah, yeah. I do you think this goes for callers, too? Do you think callers are stricken with the bench curse?
It could be. It could be. And that's why you should only listen to our show.
Yes.
Just kidding.
Sleep in and only listen to us.
Yes. Realize that you missed the good show and that you tuned in for this show. Man. I'm kidding, obviously, here, but it is pretty funny. It's been a rough month for some bench guests.
Has Lance McCullers ever been on the bench?
Probably. Oh, no. I was I was doing a radio hit with the bench, and the next thing I know, a champagne glass lacerated my wrist.
Yeah, I was walking around my house on the phone doing a phone hit, and I fell down on my right elbow. Now I have a bone spur.
Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in. I think this makes me a bad person, but the only reason that I watched the U.S. Open this weekend was to root against a specific golfer. And I'm not even talking about Bryson DeChambeau or Patrick Reed or any of the usual suspects. I don't think I have a defense here. You'll find out what I'm talking about next. Paul Gallant Show, stick around.
Back to the Paul Gallant Show, coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
The most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Astros have lost four in a row. Most recently, they lost a game where they had the lead in the ninth inning. They had the lead earlier in the game as well. Cincinnati Reds are on fire. But come on, they swept you in your own building. You're the defending World Series champions. You've now lost four in a row. You're 11-12 since May, 26th? We had a comment on the text line, 713-780-3776, the HRNP listener line. Very disappointed Jose Abreu couldn't get one hit against Weaver, whose ERA is Montero-esque. Hey, don't throw around the Montero-esque comparison lightly. Because we all saw what that guy did on Saturday. Good God. At least that game was out of hand. At least I didn't watch that game. Saturday, you are hard-pressed to find me watching an Astros game unless they're playing the Yankees, Dodgers, or I guess now the Rangers. Like, that's what it's going to take. But then I saw someone, three people sent me a text. Hey, you see what happened with Montero? Because that's all that happens now. People just say, Montero. And I'm like, I told you. Been telling you. Could have told Jeff Bagwell. He had someone behind enemy lines in Seattle.
It really is great that just like whenever Montero does anything, your phone lights up.
It does.
Because I'm sure if he has like, imagine this, if he has a stretch that's like really good, like he had in
last
year's
playoffs. Well, Jeremy Branham will get excited about that.
Yeah. No, but then people will be like, how do you like that, Paul?
Jeremy Branham will do that, I bet. When it happens, because I bet it'll happen at some point. He can't be this bad the rest of the year, right?
You somehow you're in the position of having more hope in him than I do.
Jeez, it's not good. But anyway, everyone, including Bregman, was teeing off him. Look, I can't hate on Abreu right now. I can't. Abreu's been like their best hitter since the start of June. So I know that maybe the weekend wasn't as it had been for the games leading up to it. But I mean, look, you need somebody else to hit. Like, it's Altuve and Diaz over the weekend. Peña has stunk this year. And Bregman's making errors in the field. And whenever you think he's warming up, he's not quite. I guess it was a decent weekend for Kyle Tucker. Look, you have talent in this lineup. It's just underachieving. It should be better. And, I mean, injuries are probably a big reason for the slow start. But, I don't know. Something feels different this year. It does. And I'm nervous that they're not going to be able to shake off whatever this funk is. because this stretch upcoming, I mean, this is not must win, but it's tough. The Mets are a good baseball team. I know that they've been underachieving, and the Mets are always the Mets. They always find ways to blow it, but like they certainly invested a lot of money in that team. You wrap up your homestand against them, having lost four in a row. You're playing the Dodgers this weekend. You got the Rangers coming up the weekend after. I mean, it's not looking good in the immediacy, and the pitching has been inconsistent in the bullpen more than anything. The starting pitching is just trying its best to stay afloat. I'll give them credit. For the most part, they've done their job, and the offense is sporadic, and it should not be sporadic. It should be better than this, and I know a lot of people blame Dusty Baker for the issues, but it's not all on Dusty. That's for damn sure. Some of these guys just aren't hitting.
Yeah, like the lineup stuff like isn't great, but there's some lineups where it's just like it's you just need these guys to play better. Like there's nowhere you can put these guys on a lineup. Like they have to play, and so they're going to be in the lineup, and they just have to play better.
So someone on Twitch, E315, says the defense has sucked this year, too. It actually has.
Yeah. Step back.
It's been very bad. Like Bregman, in particular, of late, Bregman's had a bunch of really bad throws, but Maldonado's towards the top of baseball nerves at catcher. Great. So what is it that he does again? Oh, wait. I forgot. He's the Bill Belichick of calling a game.
Yeah, he has three laptops open on planes. That was from Ryan Pressly on the bench.
Oh, that's true. We did hear that.
No, he had two laptops on both trays next to him, and then he's in the middle seat with the pen and a pad.
So Ryan Pressly, who has struggled since being on the bench, curse of the bench, also was doing some spin zoning for Rafael Montero. Got it.
No, Maldonado.
My bad. Thank God. Not Rafael Montero.
Although he might Maldonado. Have been. I'll have to check that.
Yeah. So yesterday, the U.S. Open wrapped up. Something named Wyndham Clark won. I'm sure that the Killer Bees would recognize him because the Killer Bees believe that the entire country can recognize any golfer, which is just wrong. Who the hell is Wyndham Clark?
Jeremy would walk up asking for an autograph. He'd be like, Wyndham.
I remember.
Here.
Yeah, you're right.
Just, like he's LeBron. He would just go, it's Wyndham.
I was driving home one day and I was listening to them talk. They're like, Paul, is your Paul talking about golf? Because I don't watch golf at all, unless it's Sunday during a major. And even then, like, give me a reason. Paul hates sports. I had no idea who this is. I'm like, is that a hotel?
It is a hotel. It is a hotel.
It sounds like a hotel.
No, Wyndham is a hotel.
It is.
Yeah, I think a dude from Game of Thrones does commercials for them.
Oh.
Tormund.
Tormund Giantsbane? How about that? So he's 29. It was his seventh major. He'd missed the cut in four of the six that he'd been in before. So good for him. You know what I was watching a little bit of the final round for? I heard that Rory McIlroy was within striking distance. And Wyndham Clark had a couple of bogeys. He was trying to give it away to Rory. I was watching entirely because I wanted Rory to fail. What does that say about me? I don't really have a good reason for not liking Rory McIlroy. He's from Northern Ireland, and I hate the idea of Northern Ireland. It is an invasion by the British into Ireland. Majority of my blood land, like 65-70% Irish, and the rest is French Canadian. A little Scottish in there too. I refuse to acknowledge any of the English, forced blood in my family. Right, so I just don't like Rory. I felt like he was annoyingly sanctimonious with this LIV Golf Tour stuff, and I think it's hilarious that now he's eating crow. And I also thought it was hilarious that he had an opportunity to win and he hasn't won a major in 9 years and he blew it. So I like Wyndham Clark, cool. I'll forget his name in a week. McIlroy losing? Hell yeah, brother!
It also would have been funny if he won and he has to like get on the mic and like they're just going to ask him a bunch of live... Like, there'll be some like golf media that's like, to win after 9 years in the wilderness. What does that mean? Da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah.
But also it would be, hey, you just won the first major since LIV took over PGA Tour, and you're the loudest...
Coincidence?
Yeah. What do you think of that?
I feel like Rory might have known. It's hard to believe that he was totally outside of the loop on this. But maybe he was. He did say that he was. I have a hard time believing many people speaking at sports press conferences where... It could perhaps be, I don't know, bad to admit that you knew some of the things going on behind the scenes, especially in relation to some of the other golfers who clearly were kept in the dark. Everyone seemed like they were so surprised by it. Hell, we were surprised by it. The guy who was writing a book about LIV Golf turned in his draft only to find out that there was a merger between the LIV Golf Tour and the PGA. My last U.S. Open thought, I'm bummed out for Ricky Fowler. That putt at the end of Saturday sucked. I felt bad. I felt very bad. I think that was on the 17th for him. Yeah. It was rough. I want Ricky to win. He hasn't won a major.
Never won a major.
He's got the drip. And
he's cooled off the drip a little bit.
Which, I know.
Which makes sense. Like, you kind of have to. If you've been in the PGA that long and you're supposed to be, like, one of those guys, like, at the top, and you're the one that hasn't won, like, you can't be dressed in, traffic cone.
No, shut up, Sean. You should stay dressed up as a traffic cone.
No.
I like that he wore orange.
I just think, like, at what point are you the guy who dresses crazy and not the guy who wins tournaments?
He's the guy who wins life, you know?
He does that.
He wins life. He's married to pole vaulting legend Allison Stokey.
Of course. Who could forget?
Wait, that was sarcastically said. How could you forget?
I did not know he was married to Allison.
You had never heard of this person before,
no.
Huh? Wow.
Should I look her up?
No, because that would be kind of creepy.
Okay.
But do it on
then
your
I
own
won't.
Time. Look. Ricky Fowler. Ricky Fowler
is
like
pole vaulter. What do you
mean? Hey, Sean, can I finish my point here? Ricky Fowler is like Stanley Goodspeed in The Rock, right? Because everyone's like, oh, Stanley Goodspeed, played by Nicolas Cage. Oh, he's just this nerd. But Carla was the prom queen, and you know what winners do? So good for Ricky Fowler, who is a winner in life, and he will win his major eventually. And, you hate to see Rory McIlroy lose. By the way, I have an admission to make. I said I was going to talk about it at some point on the show. Friday night, I went to go watch Guardians of the Galaxy Part 3, and I cried, like, very hard for a while. It was a surprisingly emotional movie. The backstory of Rocket Raccoon is very, very sad. Like, really, really sad. Like, as Sean said earlier, an extended Sarah McLachlan ASPCA ad. I mean, holy crap. It was hard to shake that off. And that whole plot comes to its conclusion well before the end of the movie. And then they just move, like, seamlessly back into being a funny, goofy franchise. But that moment, my God, it was dark. It was really, really, really dark. And I was sad. And, like, I felt afterwards, there was an ant that was, walking on my counter. And instead of killing it, I put it on my hand and I, like, walked it outside.
Oh, my God.
I know. I became a massive softie over the weekend.
You're doing genetic experiments on this ant. You're just going to squish it so it doesn't bite you and leave more ants.
I might have been nice to a wasp this weekend, Sean.
This is where Paul goes soft.
It is.
PETA Paul here.
Seriously, PETA could have blackmailed me after that movie. They should have done, like, just throw blood on people as they leave the theater. Like, I would have given them my money.
You know what? Meat is murder, Paul Gallant.
That's kind of how I feel. I'm mad because, like, I bought some pork chops on Friday, and I'm like, oh, man, I'm eating, like, the most intelligent animal that there is.
They're smarter than dogs. Would you eat a dog?
No, I would not eat a dog.
Oh, but you would eat a pig. That's interesting.
Well, there's lots of... I mean, they're a menace in the sticks.
But those are wild boars. You're not eating a wild boar.
It's the same
boar.
Thing, though.
No,
I'm pretending
really.
Pretending I'm eating a wild boar.
The meat's different. You're just eating the good meat. You're eating the one that tastes good. That's all you're doing.
I like it. I like it gamey. Help me out, then. Someone help me find javelinas, okay? Where can I buy javelina meat, okay? So I can feel like I'm not a menace and killing animals that are just cute little fuzzy things. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in. Houston lost a pretty cool figure over the weekend. We got garbage time, too. Stick around. Oh, it's in the day. Sideways. Oh, it's in the day. On the sun.
Maybe OJs, but we going crazy when they see me.
Back to the Paul Gallant Show, coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
That's Big Pokey, a.k.a. Milton Powell, as we come back in to wrap up the Paul Gallant Show. For those who don't know, he's a Houston rap legend. That's Sitting Sideways, a song that he did with Paul Wall. He passed away over the weekend. He was performing on Saturday night in Beaumont. He collapsed and was hospitalized and died. He's just 48 years old. Really sad. And, you know, Houston's got a very, I think, awesome history when it comes to the rap scene here. And when I was working over at the Texans flagship, my producer at the time, Ryan Rocket, basically would give me these homework assignments to check out Houston rappers. And for those who don't know, DJ Screw's mixtape, the June 27th freestyle, Big Pokey was featured on that. And obviously DJ Screw no longer with us as well. There is a lot of sadness, I guess, that's associated with the Houston rap scene. And I don't know how much of it is related to Lean, obviously, way back in the day. Yeah, I would imagine some of it was related to that. But it's sad to see that over the course of the weekend. Sean, I think you're much more of a musical follower than I am. And like, I didn't know about any of this Houston rap stuff until I had my producer on, who just happened to know so many of these people. Like ESG came in studio with me a couple of times. Slim Thug came in studio with me, Little Flip as well. It was fun because I didn't know anything about it, and I was just fascinated by their stories. But this is a bummer. And man, just 48 years old, and to go out like while performing, it was a super hot weekend. So you got to wonder, you know, like, hey, if that was the cause. But it's just awful to see that he passed.
Yeah, no, it really is. It is just sad. There's really no other word for it. And like you said, with the Houston rap scene, it is such an awesome scene, because part of it is that it's so connected. You know, it's has a little bit of like, I don't want to say like a small town feel, but like it is like where everyone knows each other when it comes to the rap scene. And so when sad stuff like this happens, like the whole community kind of feels it, you know, and that it just, again, makes it even more sad.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, Big Pokey, 48 years old. Listen to him a little bit over the course of the day. Anyway, it is the Paul Gallant Show. It's that time. Let's do a little garbage time.
I'm only happy when it's
garbage. And then I start eating garbage.
If there's one guy up here who knows about total garbage,
garbage,
it's this guy. It's garbage time with Paul Gallant. Let's go.
Let's go.
I don't know how many people saw this, but the Astros have a new beat writer that you guys can get mad at. Chandler Rome off to The Athletic, where he's covering the Astros for them. Matthew Kawahara is joining the Houston Chronicle.
Good job. Good job.
To be their beat writer. So now you know. Be nice. Be nice. How long is it going to take for all of Astros fans to turn on this guy?
Wait, previously, right now, because what I'm going to say is I'm looking at his Twitter bio. Previously from the San Francisco Chronicle and the Sacramento Bee. Someone from California is moving to Texas?
Oh,
what?
No. Well, I mean, he's not.
Come on, Matt.
At least he's not from the Dodgers beat.
I guess. But, does Matt think that the Astros play in Austin? Is that why he's moving here?
Ooh, classic California coming into Texas. I love that. Not. Hashtag build a wall. No, I'm not talking about to the south. I'm talking about
to the west?
To the west.
On the west side of El Paso?
They're the real menace. Those damn West Coasters. Although technically, do I count as a West Coast immigrant to Texas, having moved back from Seattle?
I think you're a coastal elite because you've lived on both coasts.
But this is the
big
best
city,
coast.
Paul.
People don't even talk about the third coast, including you. We are on the coast, Sean.
Yeah,
watch
no, but
mouth.
You're a coastal elite.
Mid-coast.
What do they call it? You're an East Coast and a West Coast elite.
Do they call it the third coast?
Third
do they call
coast,
it the Gulf
yeah.
Coast?
Third coast.
The third coast. Okay. I'm a third coast guy. I've lived here long enough. I can claim
it. Yeah, no, you can claim it. I guess.
It sounds like Who are you? That wasn't nice.
Yeah, you moved out.
Oh, Paul's a carpetbagger.
You tried
Paul's
to get to the Pacific Valor. Coast as fast as you could.
By the way, speaking of the Bay Area, the Oakland A's are already pandering to Las Vegas. They've rented out billboards congratulating the Vegas Golden Knights across the city. I don't think that's going to make people like you. I don't.
Did you see that, like,
Mark Davis?
Mark Davis hates him.
I love it. I love the petty energy. John Fisher and that ownership group should be eviscerated. They are a horrible ownership group. They took over for an ownership group that let Jason Giambi walk, Johnny Damon walk, Miguel Tejada walk. And you would think that an ownership group like that would be sensitive to the idea that they are not spending money. And they have somehow spent less. And their reward is a stadium in Vegas that's going to be funded by taxpayers for at least a third of it. It's ridiculous. F them. Baseball owners have it so made. And, you know, we throw a lot of heat from time to time at Jim Crane, especially with the offseason where it seemed like Crane was a little bit more involved. But Crane has never hidden. I will give him credit on that front because a lot of baseball owners, you're not even sure who owns the team. Not the case in the NFL. You know every single NFL owner. NBA, a little bit less so, but baseball owners have it made. Meat Shield Manfred just takes it for them over and over again. John Fisher should be crushed daily. Just a poor, and he's getting a bailout. A baseball bailout with Manfred being snooty towards all of those people in the Bay Area. It's awful. How badly would you ever want to go to a city like Cleveland? Because a woman has gone viral on a plane for having a conniption and demanding that they get to Cleveland as quickly as possible.
Just take me to Cleveland. That's all I'm asking. Drag me out my feet. That's fine. I will never come out and talk to you. I'm not leaving this plane. I'm going to make an international incident. I just want to go to Cleveland. That's it. I paid for everything here. I did not do anything wrong. I'm just trying to go to Cleveland.
just trying to go to Cleveland. She is lit. What do you think was her drink of choice? Does remind me, someone who wants to go to Cleveland this bad, did she finally see the hastily made Cleveland tourism video that made the rounds on the internet back in the day?
Fun times in Cleveland today.
Cleveland!
Come on down to Cleveland Town, everyone. Come and look at both of our buildings. Buy some food that's prepared near the street. Who knows, you might even see this sky. You should come on down to West 6th Street. It's the perfect place if you're a douchebag. Watch the poor people all wait for buses. Who the f*** still uses a payphone? Here's the place where there used to be industry. This train is carrying jobs out of Cleveland. Cleveland leads the nation in drifters. Here's a statue of Moses Cleveland. He's the guy who invented Cleveland.
Yeah! There's a second video, too, where at the end they say, our economy's based on LeBron James. At least we're not Detroit. But this lady, she believes.
She took it seriously.
In Cleveland. Believeland in her mind.
She's like, wait, they lead the nation in drifters? Get me over there.
What is this? The Bay Area?
Yeah.
Is this where Matt Kawahara's coming from? Why didn't he go to Cleveland? It seems a little bit more on brand.
And they just beat us.
Yeah, that's true. Twitter is pivoting to video, so think that Hellscapes was bad enough. Now it's trying to copy Instagram Reels, which are trying to copy TikTok. So prepare to get sucked down stupid rabbit holes on Twitter. I have before. One time I saw a video of high schoolers fighting, and all of a sudden I went down a rabbit hole of high schoolers fighting on Twitter.
Oh, yeah. I mean, who hasn't?
It was enthralling.
It is enthralling. For me, the worst thing is the For You tab, because late at night, like, if I can't sleep and, like, there's nothing on the following tab, I'll just go to the For You tab, and I'll just be stuck there for, like, 45 minutes, just, like, either like being like, this tweet sucks. Like, why am I looking at it? But then I can just keep scrolling.
There you go.
Awful.
Video everywhere.
Yeah, now it'll be video everywhere.
Can't wait.
That'll be easier for me to skip.
I do want Facebook videos. I want all our aunts and uncles to just be posting like videos talking
like Facebook
about
Live.
Yeah, yeah.
Pulling out guns.
Here's the latest on QAnon. Big thanks to Sean Mapes behind the glass, our texters, our twitchers, and our tweeters. I am merely Paul Gallant. So long. Farewell. Happy Juneteenth, one and all. The Killer Bees are up next. See ya!